The Zooier Than Thou podcast features adult concepts and language, and should therefore never be listened to by anyone. So if you're thinking of listening anyway, that's thought crime. And thinking about thought crime makes it an ultra crime. So if you're too young to do the ultra time, maybe don't think about thinking about listening to this particular Zoophilia podcast.
Hey, what can I say? You got me howling at the moon. Whoa, don't you know the love is wild when you're a zoo? With Zoe.
Welcome to another positively positive episode of Zooier Than Thou. I'm your host, Steve.
And I'm your co-host with the co-most, Cookie Connoisseur.
Hey, Cookie, what's good?
It's all good. The weather's nice. I've been drawing a lot. And I've been working on my garden. Got lots of tomatoes this year. How about you? What's good with you, Steve?
Well, let's see. I own my house, and I own my business, and I don't have payments on either one, and I own the land underneath it. I've got two human partners and a canine partner. I've got a career that I really enjoy. My health is awesome. I sleep as much as I want to. I get to volunteer with the community and make art and distribute stickers all over the world. Weather's nice and warm. I got some comfy socks, but really not much to complain about.
That does sound good. Which is the topic of this episode, Zoos Doing Well?
That's right. We've previously addressed the struggles of zoos. Homelessness, self-harm, being outed, etc. But I had the idea to feature the stories of zoos having a good time of life.
Zoo positivity?
Well, originally I thought we'd feature financially successful zoos. But when I reached out to the ones that I knew, they preferred discretion for what I guess should have been obvious reasons.
Fortress zoo's gonna fortress.
Right, so then we asked listeners to share something positive about their lives, and that's what we're featuring on this month's post-Thanksgiving, pre-Christmas episode of Zooier Than Thou.
And starting off, we have a message from Soggy Doggy.
Soggy Doggy writes, "Sorry if this is meandering, I'm trying to be vague to keep my online self detached from my IRL self. As an adult, I came out as trans, and I moved very far to escape the transphobic family I was living with to live with an estranged family member I knew nothing about. He turned out to be incredibly accepting and gave me a lot of grace and patience when it came to figuring myself out, and he was remarkably comfortable with talking about literally any subject as if it were a casual conversation, to the point that no topic was truly taboo. I've known I'm Zoo since I was 5, but I always assumed I'd take that secret to my grave. My family members' comfort talking about taboo in a non-judgmental way convinced me to try opening up to him about being Zoo. He said, yeah, that makes sense. You know I view animals as people, and I know you do too, so as long as you're not forcing yourself on anyone and nobody's getting hurt, I don't really see any problem with that. His response somehow both blew me away and was unsurprising. With my family members' acceptance, I began to get much more comfortable with being open about my zoo sexuality. Shortly after I came out to my partner and my best friend who had been living with me for a year, who both were accepting, though had questions. Over time, I have had several partners, 9 at this point, who I have come out to shortly after dating. The most recent partners actually came out before dating. The way I see it, if someone is going to judge me for such a core part of my being, that I not let them get too close before that happens. When I came out to my most recent girlfriend, she asked me a tremendous amount of questions that made me realize I feel genuinely proud about the way I view animals and how I try to interact with them with legitimate respect for their will and well-being. She convinced me to seek out zoo community. Shortly after my girlfriend's suggestion, I found the section of the zoo community. Through Taro on Twitter, I stumbled into the Zooey.pub community, and from there I've made some wonderful friendships and deepened my pride for my orientation. All of that pride inspired me to come out one by one to every one of my in-real-life friends, as well as all of the most important online friends. I've only lost a handful of acquaintances over it, well, and some local community spaces started to seem a little unsafe, but the people who mattered the most to me turned out to be people who are understanding and willing to talk through any concerns they had. In total, I'd say I amount to at least 20 people in my personal life now, and it's been a little over a decade since I first came out to my family members too. I'm currently out to them, every important friend, all my partners past and present, and I wear stealth zoo pride decorations frequently in public. I know most zoos are not afforded the security of being out to so many wonderful people, which is why I've been trying to live more openly. I want to help normalize this so that zoos can know what it is to be safely out. I also share this with zoo in hopes that closeted zoos listening, even if they feel like they can't come out, will be able to feel some hope from the knowledge that not everyone out there is hateful of our kind. If you do decide to test the waters, be careful and stay safe. If you feel like it's not safe, then trust your gut and always remember to try to be kind and loving toward yourself, even if you must stay in the closet. The world always needs more of us in it. With all my love, good luck. Wow. Yeah, that actually mimics a conversation that I had with my mom, where she asked if I was gay, and I said, well, only with guys and with girls, not so much, but also I'm into animals. And she said, well, as long as you're not hurting anyone or anything, I guess, then go for it. What about you and your family? Are you out at all, Cookie?
No, actually, I'm not. It hasn't been a subject of discussion that I've had. But I do try to make sure that animals come first in my life, and I take care of them to the best of my ability.
Yeah, we all do. And you may have listened to a previous episode on coming out specifically, so if anyone out there listening hasn't heard it yet, I encourage you to check it out.
Thanks for sharing, Soggy Doggy.
Next up, a message from an anonymous, successful zoo.
Anonymous, successful zoo writes, at the risk of sounding contrived, it isn't so much the ebb and flow of material wealth that I have come to measure my own success by all of these years. Instead, it truly has been through deep and meaningful connections I have had the fortune of making with other people and cultures here around the world. Memories and experiences, and being able to share them with kindred spirits, that and living true to myself.
Yeah, I actually know this guy and reached out to him. I've known this guy for about 20 years. And he's successful by pretty much any estimation, and he's what we would call like a fortress zoo. But understandably, because he's got people who work for him, families that are being supported by working for him, he wanted to be really, really discreet. But he did say that that was okay to share what we just read. And he does live a really remarkable aspirational life. He travels all over the world. He has lots of friends that he keeps in touch with. You know, I knew him before he was materially successful, but yeah, now he's spiritually successful as well. And man, what an inspiration. What would you think, Cookie, about having your own menagerie of animals and a bunch of land to enjoy them on?
Oh, that really does sound like a dream. Being able to have a big old garden and a bunch of animals to love and take care of. Oh, that sounds like a great type of connection that I'd like to have.
Plus, I mean, piles and piles of gold.
Piles of gold? Oh, that sounds pretty good, too.
Well, thanks for sharing, Anonymous Successful Zoo.
Next is a message from Zoo Kitty.
Zoo Kitty writes, so while I was asleep a couple of nights ago, my boyfriend went on my phone to update my Twitter bio to have his new account. He eventually got nosy and started snooping my alt accounts and found my zoo one, not knowing I was a zoo. I had put out a few good feelers in the past to see if he'd be cool about it, but couldn't get good answers, so I was still closeted. When I got home from work, he said he had something to confess and apologize for, which was that he had snooped on my phone and apologized for it, and also apologized for making me feel like I had to keep that part of myself hidden, because knowing me, he knows I'm not a bad person and would never hurt or abuse an animal, and he totally accepts me. I've been getting to share stickers and merch I've gotten from room parties. We're even planning on getting a zoo flag for our room. It's literally been the best feeling ever to be fully open with the love of my life. What do you think, Cookie? Openness with your own partner about your whole self?
Gosh, I think that really is just so important to be able to connect with your partner and share everything with them. I think that they're going to have a real good, happy time with their partner now that they aren't hiding anything. And it's kind of a shame that there had to be some snooping to make that happen, but well, look where they are now.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where your task failed successfully. Usually that kind of snooping ends in disaster, but we're really glad it worked out for you. I know that living openly with my zoo partners is just such a relief. I don't have to hide anything or always be wary of slipping up. And honestly, it's the lazy, peaceful way to go. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Great to hear, Zoo Kitty.
Next, let's hear from another anonymous zoo.
Another anonymous zoo, right? I consider myself successful in my career. I'm in a skilled profession, and I've steadily built my experience and skills over the years. My entire life is built around dogs. This has actually been the primary driving force for my career as a whole. If I do well, they directly benefit, so I've kept at it all my life. My career has gone well, I earn a good wage, my job is enjoyable and rewarding, and I've cultivated good hobbies and skills at home. Life and dogs are expensive, though. My wallet is often empty, but my heart is always full. I have an offline network of close friends who I'm out to as zoo. I have an online network of zoo friends and associates. They're all amazing people. I'm completely comfortable in my own skin. Success is more than just money. It's who you're with, it's what you want, and it's what you need.
Yeah, it reminds me of that saying, horse rich, money poor.
Oh, horse rich. I'd like to be horse rich. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, until you run out of money feeding the horses.
Oh, that is a problem. Then you grow your own grain.
Hungry, hungry horses. But yeah, this kind of mimics what we heard earlier from the anonymous successful zoo, where once he had kind of pushed past his fixation on material wealth, what's really, really important to him is his
well of connections.
Yeah, meaningful human connection and community, which, you know, I know if you've ever listened to this podcast, you've heard a lot about that, but here it is again, external validation.
And the community part is so important. I feel like being able to discuss these things with people really takes a burden off one's shoulders.
Absolutely, that's why we're here. That sounds like a full life, Anonymous Zoo.
Next up, from one of our own Zoot crew, Ryder.
He writes, I consider myself quite successful in my life as a whole zoo individual. A long relationship with a partner I've been out to the whole time, animals I love dearly, and a wide circle of zoo friends have allowed me to serve my communities for a very long time. I'm happy for the position I'm in, as I have the time to contribute to help make this for you, our dear listeners. Heart emoji, Ryder. Yeah, Ryder's editing his own story into an episode right now.
How exciting.
Pretty exciting. Well, I mean, maybe he did it a little before you listened to it, but maybe he's still editing it and he's hoping he finishes before the end of the episode. Because otherwise you'll just hear raw material or silence and Ryder will just run out of space.
Oh, an episode of silence? Oh, I don't know about that. I think we're going to have to help him out with the story here, huh?
It really helps pad our runtime, though, with all the metaphysical pauses. It's pretty great.
Awesome sauce, Ryder.
Next, we hear from a zoo friend of the podcast.
The friend writes, if you measure success in earning a stable living, having a stable home life, and benefiting from positive social connections, I'd say I've been fairly successful. And a lot of that is directly from participating in the zoo community. I don't expect listeners at large to recognize me from anything. Most of my contributions have been more behind the scenes, but I have been fortunate that in helping others and contributing to things people appreciate, I've had that pay me back in dividends. When I was getting burnt out at my old job, it was zoo connections that helped me find a new one, a better one that I absolutely love. When I couldn't afford a large vet bill one time, a few zoo friends pulled together funds and helped me take care of my dog when I needed to desperately escape a really bad living situation. Zoo Connections rescued me and helped me get somewhere safe. Because of the community I've participated in actively and the connections I've made in the process, I have a satisfying, well-paying job. I live in a wonderfully new home with roommates who I don't have to hide anything from. And I know that if the chips are down, I have amazing people I can rely on to help me through any situation. My only hope is that I can pay the success I have cultivated forward. I feel an obligation to live up to the care and kindness that people have invested in me and prove to them that I was worth their time and energy. If you ever helped me to get where I am eternally grateful, and I recognize that I could not have done any of it without you. I don't want to suggest that just by being in the community, you should expect to definitely have your vet bills paid for or anything. But I think that success isn't really something you achieve all alone in a vacuum. There is luck involved. And I certainly have been fortunate enough to be in the right place at the right time with the right people. But I truly believe that if we can make positive impacts on each other's lives, however small, we all stand to come away successful in the end. If not richer in wealth, much richer in community. And if you're rich in community, you don't have to pull yourself up to greater heights all by yourself.
Yeah, I've definitely been helped by Zeus before, and now I'm definitely in a position to help, and I'm really grateful for both. I'll never forget when I first dropped out of college. It was a zoo who basically gave me my first, like, long-distance touring motorcycle. And then I rode that all across the country to live in a place that was hosting zoo gatherings every month. And it was through zoos that I found that place. It was through zoos that I got my first job at the new city. It was through zoos that I had pet sitting connections for my animals, advice for how to raise them the best way, the motorcycle to get there. Like, zoos have helped me basically my entire adult life. What about you? Have some zoos helped you with anything, Cookie?
You know, just being part of the community has really helped me a lot. Being able to be open and true to myself, and that's really the help that hits me the hardest.
Yeah, and now I'm sending out all these stickers and helping make this podcast, hosting it. I think I've been active in the podcast since episode 2. And what about you, Cookie?
I think I've been around for maybe a year or so with the podcast. Has it been that long already?
It seems like longer.
Maybe it has been a little bit longer than that. But it's been quite a wonderful journey, and I'm loving all the community along the way.
Thanks for inspiring us, friend.
Up next, we have a message from...
Cookie, come on. We went over the recording rules. Cell phones on silent?
Sorry. That's my bad. Here, 1 second. There we go. Phone silenced. Ready to keep recording.
Thank you. As I was saying, our next email...
Come on, Steve. Cell phones are in silent.
That's my landline. Hang on. Hello?
Well, well, well. Salutations and wishes for many good fortunes, riches, and pleasures. You know the kind. And 1,000 blisses be upon you, you successful ones of the zooish variety.
I'm sorry. Should I go while you take this?
No, no. Just a minute. Brad, how did you get this number?
How anyone gets anything is, in some ways, the undercurrent of our theme here today, I believe. And in a life well lived and with many a gay experience had, one must learn to synthesize the drives for personal and social prosperity. For as the Bible says, first fill thine own cup before filling thy neighbor's.
That's not in the Bible.
Oh, you know what? I think I read that on the bathroom wall, actually. I can't remember. But be that as it may, it's true enough. As, for example, see just yesterday at a bar in Reno, a crypto bro was telling me about the latest blockchain-type deal, and I found it all a bit tedious to be real, but as fortune would have it, on his phone he accidentally transferred me full ownership of a zoo and 100 bitcoins to fund it, and just like that, there I was renovating all these exhibits from rather sterile display cases into rich environments for various fauna to thrive in, providing nourishing food and enriching activities, staffed with caring handlers who, while many of them would gladly shed the shackles of capitalism and live in a world where animal opulence was the norm and not the exception, do all the same have their own bills to pay back home. No matter which way you slice it, providing for 30 lions a day isn't free, am I right?
Right.
And so here I am now, diving with dolphins, philosophizing with elephants in their ancient language that predates verbal speech, and if you were wondering, yes, hundreds and hundreds of these animals are enormously turned on by yours truly. I don't know if it's my scent or my animal-friendly demeanor or the way that my riches are spent with my every desire towards enriching them, maybe some combination of the above, but as all of the remodeling has been going on, I've been exploring alternative amatory adventures with amorous alligator assignations, cunnilingating coyote cookies, enticing elephantine ejaculations, receiving rhino rim jobs, trialing torrid tiger trysts, and the part that I wouldn't have predicted and yet am extraordinarily humbled to find to be true is that rather than being a drain on my newfound finances, word of all this has gotten around a bit and the zoo is actually a more popular place to visit than ever before. Ticket admissions keep rolling in, perpetuating growth, which I intend to feed back into the animals who have been the ones to make it happen. I guess there is something cosmically fitting or maybe just ironic about a so-called zoo being the one to so effectively operate a so-called zoo, though honestly, I to find the zoo label in both applications to be a rather unfortunate misnomer, and for similar underlying reasons, the former of which is because I don't so much see myself as a zoo as I see all living beings as one invaluably beautiful collective in which we may just as easily...
Thank you, Brad, for calling in.
Do you get calls like that often?
More than you would guess.
Anyways, as I was saying, our next email is from Trance.
Trance writes, "Hiya, I'm Trance, and I'm a furry and a zoo. I have over a decade of experience working in a variety of airports, including one of the largest airports in the world, where I manage the airside operations team. The job is awesome. We get the privilege of being some of the few people who get to drive on runways and taxiways and get the best views of aircraft taking off and landing. Currently, I'm in a position at an airport where I'm responsible for the entirety of the airside operation. The job comes with the perk of making over six figures too, so I can't complain. I was lucky enough to get into this career by going to school for aviation business and nabbing an internship in operations at a nearby airport when I was in university. It's certainly worth a try for anyone looking for an unconventional job, though you definitely have to be willing to work the unconventional hours that come with it. I was working overnight and weekends for a few years there, but on my off time, I'm a goofy little fuzzball."
A goofy little fuzzball, huh? That sounds pretty fun. Being able to work in an airport? Boy, oh boy, that sure is a lot of people.
Yeah, and with six figures, you could probably buy a pretty fancy goofy little fuzzball fursuit if you really wanted to.
Keep flying high, Trance.
Finally, we hear from a female government worker who's a zoo.
She says,
"The morning mist clung to the lake as we gathered at the trailhead. My partner stood calmly beside me with his intelligent eyes taking in the scene with that understanding presence that never fails to ground me. As we started up the trail toward the mountain, I watched him move with easy confidence. Every step he took was a reminder of why I do what I do. By day, I work for a government institution, stable, respectable, secure, but it's not what defines me. What defines me is what happens in the margins, in the hours I carve out around my 9-to-5. I help lead and organize community spaces for people who, like me, believe that giving our partners their best lives isn't just a responsibility, it's a calling. I help coordinate events. I do my best to arrange meetups and maintain online spaces where zoos can connect, share resources, and support each other. But here's the complicated part. My employer would prefer I didn't do any of this. The nature of my role, the expectations around my position, the insular and private nature of the community I serve, it all creates tension. They know this about my life, but they'd rather I keep it separate, quiet, invisible. So I do what I must. I practice thorough operational security. I teach others in my spaces to do the same. We protect each other. We create room for this part of our lives to exist, even when the world would prefer that we didn't. I never planned to help in leading these spaces. It started when I was rooming with two people who I only had recently begun to know. We'd talk late into the night about what it meant to truly give our partners their best lives. Then one day, what had been three people in a living room turned into a party. Dozens of people, all hungry for connection. Somehow I found myself organizing, helping create structure where it had previously languished. The first event taught me something crucial. There were so many of us out there living quietly, loving fiercely, wanting more for our animal partners. We just needed safer spaces to find each other. On that trail, I saw our community in action. A newer member asking questions about their partner's safety, and experienced folk immediately offering help. Someone's pup struggling with a steep section, and hands reaching out without hesitation. These spaces aren't just about our partners. They're about building networks of mutual support, normalizing the depth of our commitment to our companions. Proving you can live a full life that prioritizes the beings we share our lives with. At the suspension bridge, my partner paused, and I knelt beside him. He's so much more than a dog to me. As a zoo, he's my life companion and my love in the truest sense. He shares every moment of my life, and I structure my life around providing the best for him. Would I prefer to be doing something other than my government job? Absolutely. But when I think about the life it provides for him, the quality care, the adventures like this hike, the security, I know it's worth it. Every moment of compromise at work is a sacrifice I make gladly. He doesn't know about the careful balance I maintain. He just knows we're together, that his life is full of love and possibility. My actions, my sacrifices, my career, they're all for him and his life. I wouldn't have it any other way. Here's what I'd say to someone listening who feels stuck between the life they have and the life they want to give their animal. You don't have to upend your entire life to live in alignment with your values. You can make space for the creatures who matter, even in the margins. Start small, find communities online that share your dedication, attend gatherings where they exist. Start them where they don't. Be thoughtful about security and privacy. Set boundaries with those in your life who may not understand, but don't let those boundaries stop you from living fully. Let your love for your partner guide you. Every choice I make comes back to one question: does this serve his best life? Your partner deserves your best effort. You deserve a community that supports your effort. And you deserve to live a life where your devotion isn't something you have to hide. As we returned to the trailhead that day, I felt what I always feel: love and gratitude. For my partner, who gives my life such clear purpose. For the community that's formed around our shared commitments. For the challenges that taught me how much I'm capable of when I'm fighting for something that matters. You can build this kind of life too. Your best life together is waiting.
Zooier Than Thou is sponsored by Thick Water-Based Lubricant. Need mammal bits to slide more safely and pleasurably into other mammal bits? Try Thick Water-Based Lubricant. Also by the letter P for positivity. And by listeners like you. To help support the podcast, send whatever you like to us at https://liberapay.com/zoott/donate. Every contribution helps bring you more base, high-quality Zeta content. So keep those donations coming.
And we're back.
Hey, I've been wondering something.
What's that, Cookie?
Do you think it'd be possible to harness the power of AI to create raunchy country western-themed zooey holiday music?
The kind of technology that fuels a speculative investment bubble in AI-optimized GPUs and TPUs and the related generative AI companies accounting for something like 40% of the US GDP, with a single data center consuming thousands of gallons of already scarce drinking water daily for cooling, with 2026 estimations for AI data center power demand exceeding the entire electrical power consumption of Japan?
Yeah, that kind.
Think we should?
One way to find out. Here's some AI-generated, raunchy, country, western-themed zooey holiday music prompted by Jake from State Farm.
Sleigh bells jingling, snowflakes sprinkling, Christmas at the barn again. Dogs are sniffing, cookies glistening, who gave them the cream? You steal a cookie from the dog treat tray, smile like you're up to no good. Miss swats her tail and shows off her rear end like she owns the neighborhood. You lean close, whispering, let's sneak to the hay. I whisper back, depends who's looking our way. You wink like we got secrets under those Christmas lights. Barn door closes softly, winter gets hot tonight. Oh, jingle bells, barnyard yells, snow sticking to our clothes. Check on the horses, but everybody knows. Dog cookies on the table, red rocket, simple view, mare's rear end keeps rocking in a perfect view of you. The stallion's thunder stick goes boom against the face, but the sparks fly louder when we finally misbehave. So jingle bells and secrets, and meet me in the hay. We'll pretend we're feeding animals. We ain't fooling anybody. Sleigh bells fade, moonlight shade. We dug behind the bed. While I'm checking water pails, you whisper, careful, someone's near. I whisper back, don't stop. We tumble over haystacks, laugh until we drop. Hay in our hair, boots in the air. We try to act all proper till you tug on my flannel like a last minute showstopper. Jingle bells, barnyard yells, snow sticking to our clothes. We check on the horses. Secrets
And meet me in the hay, we'll pretend we're feeding animals.
So we ain't fooling anybody.
Thanks for listening, fellow zoos. You've almost finished listening to another positively uplifting episode of Zooier Than Thou.
Tune in next month to hear a continuation of our episode on zoos facing homelessness.
In the meantime, email us your zooey questions or comments to mail@zoo.wtf. Please include an alias we can use and let us know whether we can use your email on the show.
Follow our RSS feed at rss.zoo.wtf and listen to previous episodes of On Your Favorite Podcast Client or on our website, which is still zoo.wtf.
You can also check out our extensive bonus content at bonus.zoo.wtf.
Be kind to one another and thrive. It's the sexiest, zooiest thing you can do. We'll see you next time you feel like howling at the moon.
Oh.